huge asteroid travels at tremendous speed towards a planet. On board Voyager, the crew on the bridge watch in awe as it speeds on a direct collision course. Also on the bridge are two strangers, inhabitants of the planet about to be hit. No one moves. All eyes are locked on the viewing screen, watching with tense excitement. Captain Janeway slowly walks forward, her eyes glued to the speeding asteroid, a look of grim determination on her face.
Fire.
The asteroid is fragmenting, but most of the debris is still on a collision course with the planet.
Target the fragments. Destroy them.
That asteroid should have been vaporized. What happened?
I'm not sure. Sensor showed a simple nickel-iron composition. We shouldn't be seeing fragments more than a centimeter in diameter.
Ambassador, I'm afraid I was right. This isn't going to work. The same thing happened to us yesterday. We tried to vaporize two incoming asteroids, but they fragmented and struck the surface.
I've destroyed most of the debris, Captain. However, targeting scanners were unable to track two of the fragments. They have already entered the upper atmosphere.
The huge fragments blast through the clouds. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Voyager, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Rise. Gas explodes outwards in a huge arc from an enormous sun. Nuclear reactions in the star's core send great gouts of flame thousands of miles into space. The Federation starship Voyager flies through a giant arc of fire on its continuing journey to find home. Its captain is Catherine Janeway. The starship Voyager pushes through clouds of dust and gas, its flat, oval bow raised above and forward of the cylindrical body to which the engine arms are fixed, forges a path through the unknown darkness of space. Billions of stars shine throughout the universe, illuminating huge gas clouds and multicolored planets. A blue-green planet is framed in a golden glow surrounded by the jagged illuminations of gas and space debris. Voyager flies past great rocks covered in ice and on into the farthest reaches of infinite space. A blue-gray planet streaked with clouds turns in space. Its gravitational pull holds fragments of rock, the debris of dead planets and comets in a thin band encircling the planet like a giant ring. As Voyager passes beyond the ringed planet and on towards others, an unknown sun eclipsed by a satellite moon is revealed as the moon moves on its eternal orbit. The darkness itself is eclipsed by the star's intense brightness. Millions of miles ahead of Voyager, a gigantic, gaseous blue and red nebula proves the existence of many more galaxies. The engines power up, glowing bright blue either side of the starship, and it lunges forward, accelerating into the nebula and disappearing.
The debris impacted on the largest continent, approximately 500 kilometers from the southern tip.
A central desert. Fortunately, that region isn't heavily populated.
Substantial cratering, atmospheric shockwaves, and large concentrations of dust and other stratospheric contaminants.
How long until the next asteroid hits?
Approximately 6 hours.
Can you give us an idea of its trajectory?
Same continent, but this time on the eastern coastal region.
Our largest colonies are there. Over 5,000 citizens.
Captain, we appreciate your efforts, but I think it's time we considered an evacuation. According to my analysis, there are at least 12 more asteroids heading in our direction. How can we hope to destroy them all, even with your help?
Incoming hail from the surface. It's coming from one of the heavily damaged areas.
On screen.
Ambassador, I've been analyzing the debris, and I've discovered disturbing evidence that the asteroids are not what they seem. They are composed of artificial materials. I must meet with you immediately. I think we can stop this.
I've lost the transmission.
Location.
I can't find him. Too much interference.
That was Dr. Vadim, our most prominent astrophysicist. He mentioned the composition of the asteroids. Could he have found something important?
At this point, Ambassador, I don't know what that discovery could be.
Mr. Ferris, can we send a shuttle down through that turbulence?
It would be a rough ride, but I think it's possible.
Our chances of finding Dr. Vadim are slim. We should evacuate the colony.
We haven't time to evacuate all those people.
I won't give up, not now.
Captain, I'm asking for your help again. But I won't ask you to risk your crew.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Excuse me?
It's a human expression, Ambassador. And it means we're not leaving you now. Tuvok, assemble rescue teams. We'll send down 3 shuttles to find Dr. Vadim.
Aye, Captain. Mr. Paris.
Bridge to engineering. B'Elanna, I want you to beam aboard a sample of the debris from that last asteroid. Let's find out why it wasn't vaporized.
I'm going to study the data we've collected so far. I'll be in my ready room.
Neelix rushes into sickbay.
I need analeptic compound.
Are you ill?
No, no, I'm feeling quite vigorous. I requested a place on the rescue team as part of my Starfleet training, and the captain said yes. So I thought it might be useful to bring along a few extra medical supplies.
We have some analeptic compounds in the biolab. I'll get them for you.
Neelix flaps frantically, trying to find the other shoulder strap for his rucksack.
May I suggest a tranquilizer?
No, 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 I'll be fine. Just that I'm a little apprehensive. I've been assigned to Lieutenant Tubok's team, and no matter what I do, I can't seem to please him.
Vulcans are notoriously difficult to impress. Mr. Tubok seldom acknowledges my brilliance. A word of advice, Mr. Neelix. Try to restrain your enthusiasm. You're there to observe and learn.
It's good advice, Doctor.
A shuttle battles through the planet's turbulent atmosphere.
Altitude 15 kilometers. Velocity, Mach 2.1. Entering the upper troposphere.
Mr. Scar, are you all right?
I'm an exogeologist. I prefer working on the ground.
We'll be landing shortly. Try to relax.
What's happening?
We're entering a layer of electrodynamic turbulence. Full power to thrusters.
Thrusters aren't responding.
Attempting to level our descent.
We're losing main power!
I will have to land the shuttle manually. Brace for impact.
Commander, I've lost contact with Tuvok's shuttle.
Hail them.
No response.
Notify Lieutenant Paris and the others. We may have a team down.
Towards the bridge.
Go ahead.
We beamed aboard a piece of the debris.
I'll be right there. Ambassador?
Tuvok lies face down on his console. Slowly he rises and crosses to Neelix and Sklar, who have been thrown to the floor during the forced landing. He checks that they are unhurt and opens the rear of the shuttle. A fierce storm batters two men standing outside.
Dr. Vadim.
I heard what sounded like a ship crashing. I came looking for you. This is Han Juan. He's a miner at the nearby Galasite excavation. He heard your ship, too.
Have you seen any other vessels like ours?
No, just you.
Doctor, you said you had information on the composition of the asteroids. What is it?
That data is classified. I can only speak to the ambassador.
You may also speak to me. Your ambassador sent us to find you.
No. I prefer to wait.
Doctor, we almost died trying to get that information. Tell us.
Be silent, Sklar! Now, gentlemen, there's no point in arguing. Right now, we have to get this shuttle off the ground.
Unfortunately, that will not be possible. All primary systems are offline. Warp drive and impulse engines have been destroyed. I suggest we repair the comm system and send a distress call.
How long will that take?
Several hours at least.
We don't have several hours. When the next asteroid hits, it could destroy this entire region. We've got to get out of here soon.
I assure you, we're doing everything we can. Mr. Neelix, please go outside and inspect the toroidal antenna. I need to know if any of the signal relays were damaged.
If they were, I can try to repair them.
A damage report will be sufficient.
I've been studying with Lieutenant Torres. She gave me a full orientation on shuttlecraft systems.
The damage report, Mr. Neelix?
Aye, sir.
In the meantime, I suggest everyone try to remain calm. Allowing anxiety to overcome you will only hinder the efficiency of our efforts.
He's really a very pleasant fellow once you get to know him. And intelligent. I'm sure he'll have the comm system up and running.
Neelix!
On my way.
Outside the crashed shuttle, Neelix shields himself from the howling wind which hurls dirt around the ship. He activates his tricorder and begins to scan the hull for damage to the antenna when his attention abruptly turns to an object in the distance. An enormous column reaches from the ground up into and through the heavy storm clouds. An idea begins to form in his eyes and he quickly re-enters the shuttle.
Why won't you share the data?
Excuse me, Mr. Tuvok?
You couldn't have finished already.
Not exactly. What I mean to say is, I know I'm here to observe and I don't mean to step out of line, but I think I've observed a way out of here.
Where?
I saw what appeared to be an orbital tether anchored nearby.
Yes, we use those to lift cargo from the surface to the orbital supply stations.
May I assume it uses magnetic leverage to lift the carriage?
Yes.
What is your point?
What if we use that carriage to climb the tether?
That tether's over 300 kilometers long. It takes 12 hours to reach the station.
Well, we wouldn't have to go all the way to the station. We just have to leave the ionosphere. Once we get above all this interference, we can contact Voyager. They'll beam us aboard.
I've already considered that option. The carriage was damaged on the last impact. The induction coils are offline.
Maybe we can replace the coils with attitude control thrusters from the shuttle. It would take a little creative mechanics, but I think we can do it. I spent 2 years on a tether maintenance team on Rhynax. The principles are undoubtedly the same.
Tuvok stands and thoughtfully paces to the back of the shuttle. The others watch, waiting.
Our probability of being detected by Voyager or the other rescue teams is greatest if we remain here.
What if they don't find us in time?
He's right. We should try the tether. It's better than sitting here waiting to be buried in dust.
I've helped rebuild a dozen maglev carriages. Give me a chance to get that one working. If I can't, we'll come back and wait for the others.
Very well.
You won't regret this, Lieutenant. We need to get to the base of the tether!
Underneath the tether, a cave has been hollowed out. In the center of the unlit underground bunker is a domed control console. Neelix crosses to it.
I think we can integrate our thrusters into the induction matrix, but we'll need to...
With the lights now on, Neelix spots a bag and provisions to one side of the console.
Looks like somebody's been here recently.
Get away or I'll kill him! Drop your weapon! Now!
The woman holds a knife to Neelix's throat, and Tuvok lets his weapon fall.
This is my shelter! These are my supplies!
We have no interest in your supplies. We are here to use the carriage to get to safety.
He's telling the truth. We'll take you with us.
The carriage is damaged.
Yes, we know. The induction coils. But we've brought equipment to replace them.
I know it's been difficult. This catastrophe has taken its toll on everyone. But you have got to believe us. We only want to get off the surface.
What about the oxygen converters? They've been damaged too. They can't produce enough air for 6 people.
Maybe we can augment the converters. We brought along some equipment that might do the trick.
I don't have enough rations for everyone. Don't expect me to share.
If I can fix the tether, no one will need your rations. We have a starship in orbit. They'll beam us aboard once we leave the ionosphere.
She slowly releases Neelix and puts the knife away.
If I'm not mistaken, it sounds like you know a thing or two about tethers as well.
Not really. I'm a foundry worker.
Good. We could use someone with metallurgical knowledge. Let's get to work. Have faith, Mr. Vulcan. We'll be tetherborne in no time.
On the starship, Chakotay chips at a piece of the asteroid with a hammer as B'Elanna scans it.
I've completed the mineralogical scans. The rock is composed of trioxine, olivine... Wait a minute. I'm reading a concentration of triadium.
Triadium? Isn't that an alloy?
Yes.
B'Elanna, give me a hand with this.
This doesn't look like any asteroid I've ever seen, but I'll bet it's the source of our triadium. It looks like a control node for some kind of guidance system.
Ambassador, I have a feeling these asteroids aren't striking your planet by chance.
Are we ready to bring main power back online?
I think so.
The coil bypass is active.
Is holding. Congratulations, Mr. Vulcan. We've done it!
We must still repair the oxygen regenerators and the damaged tether couplings.
Then let's get started. I'll go check on the oxygen supply. How's it coming, Lilius?
I still can't get this power relay online. I'm not an orbital engineer. I can't do this.
Maybe I can help. Let's see. You need to recalibrate the pressure valve. Like this. That should about do it. We're going to need a name.
A name?
For the maglev carriage. Whenever we finish building a tether on Rhinax, we name the carriage for good luck. Any suggestions?
No.
How about Elixia?
Elixia.
My favorite sister. She was always taking me out to explore. She showed me the caves of Tauth, the equatorial dust shrouds. Once, she even took me hunting for Arctic spiders. Whenever I think of her, I think of adventure. And this is an adventure she would appreciate. What do you think?
Where is your sister now?
She was killed when I was a young man. In a war on my home world, my entire family was lost.
I'm sorry.
I still see each of them every night. Before I go to sleep, I recall their faces and share something about my day with each of them. Tonight, I'm gonna have quite a lot to tell them.
As Neelix mops his brow, Lilius offers him her canteen.
Thank you.
I have a sister too, Hala. 3 weeks ago, after the first impact, our home was destroyed and we were separated. I haven't seen her since. I don't even know if she's alive.
When we get back to Voyager, I'll ask my captain to help you find her.
Mr. Neelix.
Excuse me. Yes, sir.
Your interpersonal activities are delaying our progress.
What do you mean?
Since we arrived, you have spent as much time engaged in idle conversation as you have making repairs.
I'm just trying to cheer everyone up a little.
Your function at the moment is to repair this vessel, not to boost morale. This is not the holodeck, nor the mess hall. This is a life-threatening situation, and your attention should be focused on one thing alone: our safe return to Voyager.
I'm sorry, sir. I'll finish as fast as I can.
Once we start moving up the tether, will we be able to reverse course?
4 hours to reach the station.
We've only been able to fix 3 of the 7 power supplies. We don't have enough energy for a one-way trip. If we were to turn back, we might not be able to break through the ionosphere. Mr. Spahn, examine this cube. See if the...
Dr. Vader! What are you doing?
He's opening the launch doors. He's leaving without us.
Dr. Vader! Please stop! The tether space hasn't been secured! If he launches now, he'll destabilize the entire cavern!
Wait! Please! Don't leave us here!
Stand aside.
Tuvok attaches a lock-breaking device to the door unit and it opens onto the tether capsule. Pinching the nerves in the doctor's neck, Tuvok lays the unconscious man on the floor. Neelix rushes to the controls.
It's too late! The cavern support structure is collapsing! We've got to get out of here!
Can we launch?
I think so.
Seal that door.
I despise enclosed spaces.
Hang on!
The capsule begins to rise up the tether.
Velocity, 30 kilometers.
losing maglev cohesion.
All right, we have to stabilize that right away, otherwise we'll go into free fall.
You mean we're gonna drop?
How do we prevent that? Neelix!
No, hold on, I'm sinking! Velocity! Let's try increasing the velocity. It should stabilize our ascent. See if you can increase power to the tether couplings.
Routing back the power to the tether couplings.
Stand by. I'm going to try giving her a little more speed. Velocity. 47 kilometers per hour. And holding.
Maglev cohesion. Stable.
We're all right. Good girl, Elixia. I knew you could do it.
Elixia.
I named the carriage after my sister.
For good luck, no doubt. We will need it. One of the oxygen converters has ruptured.
We'll have to find a way of increasing output to the other converter, otherwise we'll run out of air about halfway up.
What are the chances of our reaching the ionosphere?
I'd say they were pretty good. We did leave ahead of schedule, and that could cause a few glitches along the way.
Glitches?
I wasn't able to get the auto-ascent sequencer back online. That means I'll have to keep controlling the ascent manually. And there is the problem of maintaining atmospheric pressure. I'm already beginning to detect a few fissures in the hull.
We must repair them. Where is the emergency containment grid?
Containment grid. I'm not quite sure.
Mr. Neelix, you told me you had experience with this kind of technology.
I did. Sort of. They weren't exactly what you might call working carriages. They were more like prototypes.
Specifically?
All right, they were models. 1/10 scale, but they were extremely detailed.
You built models?
Yes, but they were basically identical to real maglev carriages. Same principles, same mechanical components. I was planning to familiarize myself with all the systems on this carriage. I just didn't plan on leaving ahead of schedule. But don't worry, I've got everything under control.
There is little we can do now that we are 30 kilometers above the surface. I suggest we continue to...
What are you doing?
Let's go. You wanted to leave? Fine.
No.
Then leave.
That is enough. He may be crucial to the survival of your colonies.
He would have let us die down there.
That is no justification for murder. Dr. Vadim, why did you try to launch without us? Does it have to do with the discovery you made about the asteroids?
Answer him, or I'll throw you out myself.
Compose yourself, Mr. Hanjuan. Once we return to Voyager, we will find
out... Who put you in command?
This rescue mission was authorized by the captain of my ship and the ambassador of your government.
I say we throw Vadim out the door. We could use the extra oxygen.
If you are trying to intimidate me, I should inform you that as a Vulcan, I possess physical strength many times your...
Tuvok catches the punch and forces Hanjuan to the floor.
It is going to be a long and perilous journey. As such, I will need your full cooperation. Understood? Mechanical glitches would seem to be the least of our problems.
We've just completed our third low-altitude survey. There's no sign of Dr. Vadim or Tuvok and his rescue team.
We're monitoring a major dust storm heading your way. You'll need to head due north within the hour.
Acknowledged. Paris out.
Captain, I'm getting more detailed sensor readings on the approaching asteroid. It's huge, over half a kilometer in diameter, and it's moving faster than the others.
Time to impact.
Approximately 2 hours.
As the tether capsule rises higher up the column, the oxygen level drops. Neelix controls the ascent from the main console, but struggles to concentrate. Gathering himself, he maintains control as Tuvok crosses to the doctor, who is slumped against the wall, struggling to breathe.
Doctor, I'm going to inject you with a triox compound. It will help to oxygenate your blood.
Mm. His breathing eases slowly and the doctor raises a flask to his lips.
I've prepared an injection of...
Yes. I know, I heard you. It won't be painful, will it?
No. It is a simple subdermal transfer.
Oh, good. Good. I despise needles. Any progress with the converters?
We were unable to salvage the damaged tank, but Lilius is working to increase the efficiency of the functioning one.
And if she can't, we'll all suffocate.
It is illogical to dwell on situations beyond your control. It would only serve to heighten your anxiety, which, if I may say so, is heightened enough.
Oh, well, thank you for the reassurance.
How is everybody?
They are suffering the initial stages of carbon dioxide poisoning.
And you?
My lungs are capable of respirating in an extremely thin atmosphere.
Then if we can't fix this air supply, you may be the only one left to pilot this thing. I'd better start showing you how to use the ascent thrusters. They must be kept at a minimum temperature.
Stop! What are you doing?
Get away! Got to get out! Let me out! Let go of me! I need it!
So now he wants to leave.
Let him!
No, you don't understand. There's something out there.
What is out there?
The roof!
He's going into shock. He's dead.
Can you revive him?
His cardiopulmonary tissues have begun to deteriorate.
From lack of oxygen?
No. I believe he was murdered.
Murdered? How?
Poisoning. According to my tricorder readings, his water supply has been contaminated with a lidroxide corrosive.
Lidroxide? That's the coolant used in the tether couplings.
How do you know it wasn't an accident?
The coolant system is completely sealed, and there is no lidroxide anywhere else on board.
Oh, now we have a choice between death by suffocation or death by poisoning.
I will conduct an investigation once we return to the ship. For now, we must focus on survival.
Again you take command. Again you decide our fate. How do we know you didn't kill him?
I have no motive.
Your motive would be the same as ours. Revenge.
I am Vulcan. I do not succumb to emotion.
Oh, and we are expected to believe that.
I think we should stop the carriage.
Why?
Something Dr. Vadim said about getting up on the roof.
Dr. Vadim was delirious from lack of oxygen. He attempted to open the hatch of this vessel and go outside. It would have killed him and possibly all of us as well.
Exactly. He was desperate enough to risk his own life. I think we should go up and find out what he was talking about.
If we stop the carriage, we'll risk losing maglev cohesion again. We'll check the roof upon returning to Voyager.
I don't know. I've got a funny feeling about this.
I'm not interested in your funny feeling.
You're not listening to what I'm saying. Delirious or not, he said he needed whatever's up there. And what if it's something that can help us?
I will not debate this with you. Please pilot the craft and remain silent.
You're going to listen to me!
You are becoming emotionally distraught. There is little point in furthering this discussion.
I'll tell you who's being emotional. You! You hide it beneath that Vulcan calm, but the truth is you're filled with contempt and sarcasm, and I'm tired of being the target of all your hostility.
You are mistaken.
No, he's not. I can see it every time you talk to Neelix. You're dismissive and condescending.
You are projecting your own emotional bias onto my actions. I have no feelings toward Mr. Neelix.
That's right! That's exactly what I'm talking about! You have no feelings for me! But you have feelings against me! For 3 years, you've ridiculed me and made it obvious to everyone that you have no respect for me. And I've tolerated it. You know why? You know why? Because you are smarter than I am, Tuvok. And more logical and stronger and superior in almost every way. And I admire you. But you don't have any instincts. You don't have any gut feelings. And you don't really understand people. But non-Vulcans have feelings, and they have to listen to them, and I've got to listen to mine. And right now they're telling me we need to get up on that roof and find out what the doctor was talking about.
I disagree.
Fine! But I'm the only one who could pilot this vessel. And we're not going anywhere till someone goes up on that roof.
You leave me little choice.
All right, then. Now, one of us needs to go outside.
I'm not going out there.
Don't even think about me.
I'm willing to give it a...
I will go.
You?
I am the logical one to make the egress. I can breathe the rarefied atmosphere.
I can't believe you're going out there. You don't even know what you're looking for.
I'm looking for Mr. Neelix's instinct. Perhaps it will be marked.
It's strange, but I really like him. I just wish the feeling were mutual.
Climbing the ladder up to the roof, Tuvok slowly pushes open a heavy ceiling hatch. The wind howls around the capsule, and Tuvok struggles to climb through the hatch, bracing himself against the gale. He slowly replaces the hatch cover and carefully stands up. Seeing a panel ahead of him, he stumbles towards it, arms held wide for balance, and kneels down. Pulling the panel away, he reveals a small data device clipped securely inside. Scanning it with his tricorder, he taps at the pad's keys, and a set of diagrams run in sequence on the small screen.
Tuvok to Neelix!
Go ahead.
I have found a data storage device lodged in the internal circuitry. It appears to contain information about an alien starship. But I will need to remove it and bring it into the cabin for further examination.
Be careful up there. If you can't remove it, don't. Sklar! What are you doing?
Sklar kicks Neelix off the ladder. With Hanjuan and Lilia staring at him, Sklar returns to the ladder and climbs up onto the roof. He attacks Tuvok. Sklar hurls Tuvok off the roof and goes to the panel where he picks up Tuvok's phaser and removes the data device. Tuvok hangs by one arm from a metal strut outside the capsule.
Where's Tuvok?
Mr. Tuvok, return to the surface. Get this carriage moving.
What are you doing?
Now!
He can't. He's hurt.
Back away. Get up. Get up! We're gonna have to figure out how to fly this vessel.
Captain, the asteroid is within visual range.
Let's see it. Ensign.
There's a large crew complement, at least 2,000.
They remodulated their shields to pool our sensors. We're being hailed.
On screen.
The Atanian Order claims this territory. You will withdraw.
This planet belongs to the Nizu. They have 5 colonies here.
You are not Nizu?
I'm a friend of theirs. Catherine Janeway, and I'm not going anywhere until you've lowered your weapons.
You will be willing to die for them? A loyal friend. And a foolish one.
They'll be here in under 10 minutes, Captain.
Battle stations.
Why haven't we started?
If we don't get moving soon, the tether couplings will give out. They'll snap. We'll lose maglev cohesion.
Then get us moving!
I can't! I don't know how!
There's the accelerator control. Try it.
Too dangerous. We've got to secure the tether first.
Right?
You, go outside and check the couplings, make sure they haven't been damaged.
I'm not going out there. Besides, there wouldn't know what to look for.
The only person who knows how to pilot this ship is Neelix.
Can't be that complicated. Keep trying.
I'm doing my best.
Neelix lies semi-conscious on the floor, blood oozing from a head wound. He looks up at the door and stares in disbelief at Tuvok clinging to the outside. Slowly, struggling to his feet, Neelix pushes the door controls. Sklar suddenly turns and raises his phaser. The capsule starts to depressurize as the door opens and loose objects fly out of the door. Fighting to stay on his feet, Sklar loses the data device and Tuvok scrambles towards him, fighting the wind. He grabs hold of Sklar's phaser arm as the others look on. Sklar swings a metal rod at Tuvok. Tuvok kicks Sklar and the traitor loses balance, flying out of the open door. Kneeling down at Neelix's side, Tuvok checks his head wound and collects his tricorder, scanning Neelix's injuries.
I'm glad you're all right.
Fortunately, I was able to grab hold of an induction coil and climb to safety.
Thank you, Mr. Neelix. What?
I said thank you for opening the door.
Don't mention it.
I believe we know now who killed Dr. Vadim.
But why did he kill him?
The data storage device contains tactical information about an alien starship. Weapons, warp drive, shield modulations. Apparently, Sklar did not want us to find it. You have an occipital concussion. I'm afraid my understanding of Talaxian physiology is limited. I cannot treat you.
I don't know how to do this. We're going to lose cohesion any minute now.
Neelix, we need you. I don't think I can do it. You must. I can barely keep my eyes open. Do it. For Elixia. She would be proud of you. I'm glad to see your interpersonal skills are improving. You're learning how to motivate people. The ship is within range. They're charging weapons.
Full power to the shields. Ready phasers.
Shields down to 85%.
Return fire.
No effect. We can't penetrate the shields.
Hang on! We're breaking through the ionosphere! Engaging induction dampers.
Neelix hugs Lilius and Han Juan grabs a very surprised Tuvok.
Tuvok to Voyager.
Janeway here. Are you all right, Lieutenant?
Yes, Captain.
We're a little busy right now. Prepare to beam aboard.
Shields down to 23%. Structural integrity is failing.
Captain. This data device contains tactical information about the enemy vessel, including their shield modulation.
Adjust our phasers to match. Target their primary reactor.
Ready.
Fire at will.
Direct hit. Their reactor is offline.
They're remodulating their shields.
Target their weapons array. Fire.
Their weapons have been destroyed.
They're retreating, Captain.
What happened to you down there? Where's Sklar?
Mr. Sklar. Return to the surface.
Neelix carries a drink to Lilius in the mess hall on Voyager.
I've just come from a staff briefing. The people who attacked your colonies, they call themselves the Itanian Order. Apparently, they have a unique way of invading other worlds. First, they create what appears to be a natural disaster. In your case, an asteroid bombardment. Once the population has evacuated, they arrive and stake their claim.
But they didn't expect Voyager to intervene, so they arrived before our colonies had been evacuated.
Exactly.
What about Dr. Vadim?
From what we could tell, Dr. Vadim found out about the Itanian Order and was secretly collecting information about their starship technology. He also knew that one of your colonists was a traitor, helping the Itanians, feeding your government false information about the asteroids. But he didn't know that it was Sklar. He didn't know who to trust.
That's why he tried to hide the data storage device on the roof. The damage to our world could have been much worse. Thank you.
Lilius gently places her hand over Neelix's as Tuvok enters.
I have just received word from the ambassador. Your sister Hala has been found.
Tell her I said hello.
Lilius stands and quickly kisses Neelix on the cheek before excitedly running out.
Mr. Neelix, I thought you should know that I have submitted my mission report to the captain. I have given you a special commendation for your endurance and bravery.
I'm honored.
Your instincts were correct. However, one day your intuition will fail, and you will finally understand that logic is primary above all else. Instinct is simply another term for serendipity.
And one day, Mr. Vulcan, I'll get you to trust your gut.
That is doubtful.
We'll see.
Your attempts have yet to succeed.
You always have to get in that last word, don't you?
I am simply responding to your erroneous statement.
Something tells me you just hate to lose an argument.
Losing is irrelevant.
See what I mean?
No. I do not.
The End, voiced by Marston York for British Sky Broadcasting.